This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, my loving Savior. His words of love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
We close this brief journey in this amazing book of John the Revelator, and Dr. Wyatt describes the city that is in fact the Bride of the Lamb.
Thank you, Dennis. We will find that what most understand about John's book of Revelation is just incomplete, for here is the fig tree, as Sharon reads from the 21st chapter, and we find revealed the Bride of the Lamb.
I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." He who sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the fountain of the water of life without payment. He who conquers shall have his heritage, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, as for murderers, fornicators, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their lot shall be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Then came one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls full with the seven last plagues, and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." In the spirit, I was carried to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal, with a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. And the gates were named for the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb.
Thank you, Sharon. What Sharon has read is, of course, from John's Apocalypse. Different images, but as stated, it's always the same message. The declaration of God's ultimate purpose in history. What is to be the final victory of righteousness, and is portrayed by some of the most picturesque and at the same time most startling language ever written. What we are presented with is, again, so clear, even simple, that it is surprising that so many confuse and basically misinterpret it, and thus miss John's closing portrayal completely. But then they are usually the same ones that have missed John's entire message. His call to endure, to persevere, to remain always faithful. A message to all that to do so will ensure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that the name of God and the Lamb will be written on your forehead. That regardless of what befalls this corrupt and fallen world, you are sealed in Him, regardless of the onslaught of the slanderer, that ancient serpent, the dragon. We are secure in the victory of the Lion of Judah, who appears in this vision as the slain lamb, the one who has redeemed God's people. This book of Revelation is filled with rich images and word pictures that denote this ongoing cosmic struggle, God's judgment, and the spiritual and living consequences on all forms of idolatry and unbelief. And this is all brought to its just conclusion in these closing two chapters of John's Revelation. Here it begins as John unveils the great climactic reward of a new heaven and a new earth. For as John says, the first heaven and earth has passed away, and the sea is no more. Again, take care in seeing this as literal. One should not allow this almost poetic prose to say more than John is actually saying. This does not mean the annihilation of the present world. There are those passages that do speak of a fiery ordeal. Even our Lord will declare, with hyperbole, that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Yet Paul informs us that this present creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God, when it will be set free from bondage of decay, and for God to wholly discard his present creation would be to acknowledge that he has not brought his purpose to reality in this world. But God is incapable of failure, for all things were created in him and for him. This is a portrayal of renewal, being remade as the glorious consummation of what was first created to again be as it was always intended. Nor is the sea's disappearance to be taken literally, for the ancients viewed the sea as a place of chaos, danger, and death. And always in this book, it represents the rebellious nature of man, the mass of unregenerated humanity. But now, peace and tranquility reign. What was corrupt, wicked, is gone, destroyed. All is fresh, new, unstained. John then sees the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven, prepared as a bride. And we then hear from the very throne what is, in effect, the fulfillment of all God's promises. The very theme of these chapters. For now, beginning with Genesis, Leviticus, on through the prophets, it is all completed. As in the words of Ezekiel, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant, and I will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forever. My dwelling place shall be with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. John hears much the same. Behold, the dwelling of God is with man, and he will dwell with them. But now he will wipe away every tear. Death will be no more, nor any mourning, crying, or pain any more. For the former things have passed away. What has disfigured and stained the work of God is now gone. It is now restored, made new. Even God from the throne declares, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and last. Yes, the sovereign God is over it all. And those thirsty will be given of the springs of the water of life without payment. Those who conquer or overcome it all will inherit, taking their place as his children. But those craven, those who cower in fear, serving what seems the powerful, the beast who desire the unnatural, those who lust, the murderers who count human life as cheap, the sorcerers and idolaters, those who live by and worship what is not God, and who serve falsehood and deny the truth, their position, says he who sits on the throne, will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which he declares is the second death. For in Adam we will all experience the first death. But as John has made clear in this letter, to partake of Christ, to take part in his life, being in him, is to take part in the first resurrection, the culmination of the transfiguration of our bodies into the likeness of the body of his glorification. Those who are strangers to this grace and the power of the first resurrection, who do not have their lives hid in Christ, will experience the second death, which is symbolized here as the lake of fire and sulfur. It is now that one of the seven angels who bore the bowls of the seven last plagues will say to John, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he is carried away to a high mountain. And what he will now describe is not a woman adorned for her marriage, but the holy city of Jerusalem coming down from God. Just as the Lion of Judah is the slain lamb, just as the 144,000 are the multitude without number, so the new heavenly Jerusalem is the bride of the Lamb. It is again the depiction of the redeemed of all the earth. It is, as so frequently portrayed by John in this letter, about the great promise, the culmination of God's redemptive purpose, not in the last few years before the end, but throughout all of human history. The bride, this city, its beauty and radiance is the very glory of God. God's people are in their redemption, in their ransom, aglow with the presence of God, like rare jewels, clear as crystal, shining in a sense beyond description. John will attempt to fully portray this bride, now as a city, as being 12 gates, each with the names of the 12 tribes, overseen by 12 angels, all built upon 12 foundations, each named for the 12 apostles of the Lamb. A city built, sustained, and made a reality by the patriarchs and apostles. Again, 12 plus 12 is the number of the 24 elders, symbolizing the totality of ancient Israel and the church. That is, all believers. This city is the redeemed, not mere stone and marble. We then are to learn, as with John, as the city is measured, that it is not just square, but a perfect cube, 12,000 stadia in size. A huge city, approximately 1,500 miles in length, width, and height, larger than the world then known by John, but with walls that are only 444 cubits high. A small wall for a city 1,500 miles high. But the measurements are again symbolic. The 12,000 stadia, with three as the Trinity, and four as the four corners representing the whole earth, multiplied together by a myriad, we translate it as 1,000, and again similar to the number of 144,000. Symbolizing the perfect number of those redeemed from every people, tongue, tribe, and nation. John, in describing this, does so with images of gold, clear as glass, adornments of every kind of jewel, all representing the incredible and dazzling, overwhelming presence of God and his glory within his people. The Jewish anticipation, the worship of the loving God, the idealized temple of Ezekiel, what it symbolized for ancient Israel, and then the Messiah, and that hope is now reconstructed, or more fully and correctly portrayed as a massive city, which is the bride of the Lamb, and to be seen as the fulfillment, the completion of divine purpose, as with the high priest's breastplate. These all were to symbolize God's activity in the world, the jewels, the colors, the carvings, the lampstand within the ancient Holy of Holies, which was representative of God's creation, the Garden of Eden. This is where Adam, representing mankind, lost his priestly role before God and his very place to serve and care the garden, which is God's world, a role assumed by the cherubims, and which now mankind is to resume, as the garden, paradise, is renewed once more to be the abode of those who are God's own. For now there is no longer anything accursed. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in this vast cube city, which is his people. Here his servants will worship him, see his face, meaning they will know him, and his name will be on their forehead, which is how we began this short series back in the 7th chapter, when the angel called out, "Do not harm the earth, sea, or the trees, until we have sealed the servants of God on their forehead." Here night will be no more, for God's glory, his presence, fills everything, and God's people have unhindered access before God. There is no darkness to dim the glory, no night that requires the gates being closed. God is the light. And John adds, they, God's people, the redeemed from every people, tongue, tribe, and nation, will reign forever and ever. He is told not to seal up the words of the prophecy, unlike Daniel, who is told to seal up the vision he has just been given, for it pertains to many days hence. John, however, is not to seal it up, for the time is near, and the church must know what is here, and will then be forewarned, prepared and able then to remain strong in the Lord and always faithful. So many have made these wonderful words confusing about something totally far off or in the distant future, thus making it seemingly irrelevant and of interest only to those who like to detail what they believe is in the future. But this is not about a cube star somewhere in the vast night sky, of meteor showers, large scorpion-like creatures coming out of a crack in the earth. Not about a huge Chinese army crossing the Euphrates River, Europe reforming the Roman Empire, or Russia invading Israel. It is far less mystifying than that, and far more relevant. What John has warned of is occurring. Efforts are afoot to destroy our faith, persecuting the faithful, to make it oh so easy to compromise our beliefs, to dilute the truth, and give in to the forces of evil. Oh, the beast has arisen from the sea of sinful humanity, and there are those already who do what they can to bring about the ascendancy of the slanderer, and those whose minds are devoted wholly to the agenda of the dragon. The marks are already burned in. Evil is, and the consequences are all about us. What John envisioned is the timeless truth that Christians must remain faithful, bearing the truth of their Lord and Savior, so that they will not be ashamed when they meet him face to face. Yes, God is ultimately in control, for he has sealed his own, and his own need fear nothing. As the number of martyrs continues to rise, for you know more Christians were martyred in the last century than at any time in history. And as such, this is not an irrelevant book, one that speaks of the future, but speaks to us now. As forces rise to push Christians into the corners, into the shadows, and out of the way, but it will not succeed, for we are the bride of the Lamb. Let us pray. O Lord, let us never lose sight of who we are and what you have done and will do. We are yours and have been given this simple task to witness of you and remain always faithful. Now it may be easy, but for some of our brothers and sisters, it is not. Let us uphold them in prayer, believing that their reward is ours and that his kingdom will indeed come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen and amen.
We close this brief excursion in the most remarkable epistle in a high and triumphant note. As he who sits on the throne declares, all things are to be made new, and the new Jerusalem is to be the bride of the Lamb. These images are timeless and are to fill us with faith and hope. If this subject is of interest to you, please do write and ask for Dr. Wyatt's study titled, The Bride of the Lamb. Here is a readable and insightful look at this entire portrayal and what it means for all of us. You can have a copy just for asking for The Bride of the Lamb. It is yours at no charge. So many of our wonderful listeners have told us that they have the wings of healing in their prayers. We do wish to thank you for all your support to this ministry and in any way that you can help. All of your prayers and gracious support is much needed to keep this ministry vibrant and growing. With all that is occurring in our world and will continue, we need that abiding presence of the Lord to strengthen and bring us through. So don't let the things that would crowd upon you keep you from doing what you can for the gospel. Our address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society, Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. I'm a little sorry that we are ending this little series in John's Apocalypse. And this particular message of mine does lay out clearly what the Spirit would say to the churches and what is our promise. Our place in God's plan, I believe, would and will take our breath away, and is why we rejoice with heaven when one lost lamb is brought to our Lord. Margaret of Chicago, Remsi in Riverside, Noreen of Sarasota, all are rejoicing as their children come to the Lord. Let us join the angelic chorus. If you have requests, please write. Now, before Dennis gives our addresses again, a new addition. Keith and Kristen Getty bring us something new. There is a higher throne. How true that is. So until next week, rest assured, for we are the bride of the Lamb.
And there we'll find our hope, our life before the throne. We'll honor Him in perfect song, where we belong. He'll wipe each tear stain.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write, and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available. Dr. Wyatt is also offering for this week his book, The Bride of the Lamb. Now, here is a readable and uplifting study on just what God intends for all who believe. So do write and ask for The Bride of the Lamb. It is yours at no charge,
All you need to do is write or contact us on the web. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. White at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.